gay.
Blog
it's
7
o'clock.
Radio.
Hello, and welcome to All About Wine, presented on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com. Our shows are also available on iTunes as a free download. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. This one-hour call-in talk show is educational.
Labels themselves are, like I say, they become an art form.
Entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is it's just trying to educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
And all about wine.
So we're continuing with France tonight.
Call the show and go on air with us at area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Or post your comments and questions during the show on 1000mics.com. All About Wine starts now.
Yeah!
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you. They are really enthusiastic today.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. Let's stop. Any minute now. You know, they start giving that free wine away as soon as they leave the little terminal thing in Jacksonville and Tallahassee. And by the time they get here, they're, you know,
they are careless where they're.
But they're listening, and we appreciate everybody being here in the front yard. And the weather's great outside, supposedly. I haven't been out yet, but it's, 86 degrees here in Zephyr Hills, so. Wesley Chapel, not too far from Wesley Chapel International Airport, where there was a plane crash. I don't know how many hours ago.
Was there?
Oh yeah,
I hadn't heard about that.
Little Cessna going down the runway. I guess he didn't make it off the runway, and he plowed into two cars at the airport. So, but everybody's fine. He walked away. There were no drivers in the car, so everybody's good. Anyway, that news brief was brought to you by.
And I want to thank you for not picking up any of the bad sound bites when you put money on the opening there. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I went through hours and hours and hours of episodes.
Yeah.
I came up with those three clips. But
those three little bits there, yeah.
So we're ready to go. And this time we're not we're going across the big lake, aren't we? We're going
big pond.
Yeah, several thousand miles away. There is like, 20,000 miles or something. How far is it? I don't know. I've got to look it up.
That's a good question. I have no idea. First, though, before we go any further.
Yes.
I wish I could have found it. I looked and looked and looked and tried to find Marilyn Monroe rendition, and I couldn't find it, of Happy Birthday.
Oh.
We all have to say happy birthday to Mike tonight, because today's his birthday.
Yay. And I'm working on my birthday.
That's cool. Come on, more enthusiasm.
Okay, wow, thank you very much.
I tried to find to find the Marilyn Monroe rendition that she sang to President Kennedy. It's not available online.
I was actually going to put the Beatles' Happy Birthday on there, but then I figured, you know, it's copyright. Blog Talk Radio might kick us off, you know, and
right.
I've been
in
the show. So copyright stuff, forget it. So
yeah, or they charge us money. Yeah.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah. Yeah
well, thank you very much. I just turned 30, and it's
again.
Yeah.
Every year I've known you, you just turned 30.
Yeah. Anyway.
That must mean I'm not getting any older. So.
Okay. So
again, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. When you get off, have a glass of wine for your birthday on me.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But all right, let's we're talking about Hawaii tonight. The 50th state of the United States. Tell you a little bit of background on Hawaii, and that's a good question, Mike. I don't know how far it is from here. If you can, it has to be as a crow flies. It's not going to be driving knowledge. So,
I can. Let's see.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can find, I did discover one thing though. There is an I-10 on the Big Island.
Oh,
it
really?
Circles the Big Island. So.
Oh, wow! I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just something else. But Hawaii, the 50th state of the United States, located in what they call the on the ocean. My engineer is helping me out here, but he's not helping me very well. It's a part of the Polynesian subregion of Oceania. Oceania is what I'm trying to think of. Hawaii is located spread out approximately for 1,500 miles. It consists of over 630 islands, actually. We are very familiar with the eight main islands, but it is it consists of a lot more little islands that just pop up all the time. And if you ever watch History Channel or Discovery or any of that stuff, you will also know that they are constantly forming more and more islands over there and popping up more and more and getting bigger and all this good stuff because of the volcanoes. It's an interesting little batch of islands and stuff there. It is the main islands. Hawaii is the main island. This is where the everyone thinks about, but actually when you fly over there, you fly to Maui. Maui is the second biggest island, located right next to the Big Island. And then going on up to the, well, I guess you would call it the northeast or northwest, rather, northwest. And I'm going to destroy these names, so I apologize. Malacca, Oahu, Kauai, and Nahiwa. I think that's how they're pronounced, and I apologize for the Hawaiians that may be listening. I probably destroyed all the island names. It is land area in Hawaii consists of... Well, I just had it here a second ago, and let me see if I can't find it again. I can't. So, land area spread out over the islands, but the land area, I'm finding about five or six different land areas simply because there are so many islands, and some of them list just one, and some of them list a bunch of them. So, it is the land area. It's we're probably... more used to just seeing the main four groups of islands, the four sets of islands. When you look at Hawaii, the Big Island, a couple main volcanoes, it's the largest one, and obviously the oldest one. The next set of islands is Maui. It consists of four islands, and then Honolulu is next, and then Kauai, I don't know, it's two islands on it. These are smaller islands. The Big Island has, there's an I-10. No, it's an I-12. I-1, I-12, I-1, I-2, and I-3, which is the highways, H-1, H-2, and H-3, and those are in the island of Honolulu, and that's also where the capital is, and that is the third biggest island in the chain. The islands range anywhere from sea level, obviously, because they're islands, up to an elevation of 12,000 plus feet. The volcanoes and the height there does make a difference. The couple of wineries that Hawaii has are at a higher elevation. There are four counties divided up as the islands. Each island is a county itself. And I bring that up because in a little bit here, as we talk about one of the wineries, being a county does make a difference. Although Maui has another little small county that's just on one of the second largest island of Maui. There's a small county called Kalawau, I believe it is, and that's the only other small county there. The rest of them are just islands themselves. population in Hawaii is over, as of 2000, population is around 1,211,000. I expect that to be close to 1,300,000 by this current census that was just taken in 2010 here. The majority of the island consists of Filipino, about 13.6% of the population, Japanese, then Polynesian, German, Irish, English, Portuguese, Chinese, Korean, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Italian, African, French, Scottish, all have a population impact on the Hawaiian Islands. So it's a really quite a diverse little bunch of islands, out there. About 75% of everyone speaks English, so it is basically English speaking, even with all the diversity of all the different people. And it has three wineries. And that's it. I talked to two of them over the last couple of days, and then the third one I didn't call. The they are located in just north of the Tropic of Cancer, and the Tropic of Cancer is northern part of where the sun turns and heads back south again. They are right on the Tropic of Cancer. The southernmost state, obviously, if you don't factor in the contiguous United States, it's the southernmost state, and it is trying to find out how many miles it was away from everybody. I don't have it here. Well, it is, again, out in the middle of the ocean. Wineries. One of the wineries that I found was called, Diamond Head Winery. Diamond Head Winery is located in right by Diamond Head, which is on the Big Island. It is a kit winery. I don't know if you've listened to the report or to the shows previously when we talked about Alaska, but Alaska has a very large kit winery there. And the Alaskan Kit Winery, as does this one, does the same thing. They bring in great pre-measured, pre-packaged boxes of grapes from different parts of the world, literally. And they put the kits together. You can come in, you can order a wine and get the wine, have it ferment. And just each kit contains approximately 3 gallons, which is about 24 bottles of the 375 milliliter size. If you're doing the small fruit wines and dessert wines, if you're doing the bigger wines, the whites and reds, those contain 5 gallons and they yield 24 of the 750 size. And if you remember when I talked about Alaska, this is a unique way to do it. If you're going to be in Hawaii for a period of time and you want to make your own wine over there or something like that from anywhere, you can do that. They print out your labels. You can have them watch it and check it and do everything. But they've got these kit wines offer a tremendous amount of different wines. I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole list of everything that's available, but it's unbelievable, all the different wines. And they also got some international white wines, Australian Chardonnay, Australian Murray River Reserve, which is a white blend, Chilean Chardonnay, New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, a French Chardonnay, an Italian Pinot Grigio. These are all available in the kit wines. White Zin, White Merlot is available. They do a symphony. Let me explain. Symphony is actually the grape that's probably most popular as far as a grape that we're not familiar with that's grown in Hawaii. Both of the wineries I talked to, one of them had a lot of Symphony planted. They're actually cutting back on it a little bit, but they have a lot of Symphony planted. Symphony is a grape that was crossbred, made by the University of California, Davis. It is a cross between a Muscat of Alexandria and a Grenache Gris. White grape, Muscat of Alexandria is a white grape, very aromatic, the grapey character, like a green grape aroma and stuff. Grenache Gris is a red grape with a lot of fruity aromas on that and quite a bit of acidity. The two blended together make what they call a symphony, which comes out with some melon flavors, grapefruit, mango, peach, banana, papaya, a lot of underlying tones of all these tropical type fruits, and grows very well in Hawaii. And one of the wineries I've talked to had a lot of that planted. I'll get to them in a minute after I finish about Diamond Head here. Diamond Head I couldn't find a whole lot of information on Diamond Head as far as the question is, Walk Talk Radio, why did you disconnect us?
Hello, and welcome to 1,000 Mics. Begin your treat. You are now live on air.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back, Walk Talk Radio and 1,000 Mics. There's a very British-sounding voice on that Walk Talk Radio.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't know why.
I don't know why either. Yeah. But welcome back, everyone. Sorry about the disconnect there. It's technical difficulties, obviously. We were talking about a Volcano Winery located in Hawaii, and the wines they have, a honey wine made with macadamia blossoms, macadamia nut tree, and make the honey for their honey wine, which very popular honey wine, a sweet, delicate wine that is very popular, he said, Josh, our tasting room manager. We're also talking about what they're growing there now, Syrah. Syrah's no longer, they have some in the ground. They said they're going to probably not plant any more of it. They did put 17 acres of Pinot Noir in the ground now, and they're going to see what happens. They have three other grapes that they're trying to see what's going on with them. Marcel Foch, a Tayaga White, which is one of those made by New York I can't think of the name of the university. New York University. And Chamberson, which is also another grape that they have. So they've got a lot of different possibilities coming up. They're looking at expanding and doing all this. The vineyards are located at 4,000 feet, quite a high elevation, again, on the Big Island. The temperatures in the summer where they are get up into the 80s. He says sometimes they hit 90, not often, but they do pop into the 90s. But the winters, he said, because of the elevation, they do occasionally drop down and for the lows in the upper 20s, which surprised me, really shocked me that they would do that. I guess it's because of the elevation more than anything that's given them those temperatures. They said their climate and comparable to Northwest U.S. Up in the Washington State area or the Oregon area, something like that. Are 2 miles from the entrance to the Hawaiian National Park and about 30 miles southwest of Hilo. The winery itself was started by a doctor who was doing it as a hobby on weekends, and he did that for some time. In 97, 98, he had an accident and decided to sell it. He was, as Joss explained, he some head injuries, and he just couldn't keep up with all the grind of it. And so he sold it to Adele Bothoff. In 1999, Adele Bothoff bought it, and he has been running it since then. As Joss explained, not an on-site owner. He lives in Hilo, and it's just a fun thing for him also. But that's Volcano Winery, located on the Big Island. To tell you, if you write this stuff down, to get a hold of Volcano Winery, they are located at Volcano Hawaii. Their phone number, 808-967-7772. Fax number, 808-967-7679. They can be found at www.volcanowinery.com. And their for information, info@volcanowinery.com. So www.volcanowinery.com. Get you all the information you need about them and all that. And so, Josh, if you're listening, thank you for your information and your time. The other winery that Hawaii has is called Maui's Winery. This is located, obviously, in Maui, which is the next island up from Hawaii, the Big Island. I talked for quite some time today to Paula Hagley, who is the president of Maui Winery. It was actually a very, very enjoyable conversation with her. It was just really quite informative. She was very candid with what's going on there at the wineries, what's happening and everything. So I will try to fill you in. It was almost an hour conversation, and I was trying to take notes as fast as I could, and so I can pass it all on to you. Maui Winery was opened in 1974. It is located on a 20,000-acre cattle ranch. Now, I went, whoa, because Florida State's winery is located on a 3,600-acre cattle ranch, and I thought that was rather cool that their winery was on a big cattle ranch. Anyway, it was originally called, and I will never pronounce this right because it's in Hawaiian, and Hawaiian has a lot of long names in it. Ula Palakakua Ranch is what it was originally really named, Ula Palakakua. I think that's right. That's right. And the vineyards were called the Tadeshi Vineyards. Now they call it the Maui Winery, although the Tadeshi Vineyards may be something you'll see on some of their labels, and I'll explain that in a little bit here. But Tadeshi Vineyards and Ula Palakakua, which actually is translated into breadfruit ripened on the back. The history of the winery in this area here, the ancient Hawaiian chief would send his messengers, would stay at this place, and send his messengers to Hana for breadfruit. By the time they returned, since they were on foot, the breadfruit had ripened and turned black. So it was, hence the name, breadfruit ripened on the back. They carrying it back. A lot of the early history of Hawaiian, of the Hawaiian Islands, is rather sketchy simply because there was no written language. Everything was passed on verbally from one generation to the next. And so, because of that, a lot of the history has been lost as people lose the Hawaiian language too. Hate to say it, it's a dying language. But in 1845, the king leased approximately 2,000 acres of the portion for the purpose of growing and processing sugar cane. In 1856, they acquired another plantation, which was sugar mills, buildings, implements, 1,600 head of livestock. The captain moved he and his wife to the Rose Ranch because of the flowers all around the roses, the Maui's roses. And as they were there, the king used to come and visit them quite often. And he became such a frequent visitor that they built a cabin for the king to stay in. That cabin for the king is now the current tasting room there. It has survived. That was in 1874. That has survived. The original discoverer, Captain James Makea, died in 1879. The last sugar crops were done in 1883, the last one to be processed, and it became just a cattle ranch at that time. In 1963, after changing hands over the previous number of years, C. Pardee Erdman purchased the property its name, Yucapalaca Ranch. In 1974, Tadeshi Vineyards was established. In 1977, they released their Maui Blanc pineapple wine. 1980 was the first harvest of Tadeshi Vineyards. 1984, Tadeshi's first grape product, the Maui Brut Blanc du Nord, is released. 85, Maui Blush. And since I mentioned Maui Blush, the winery, I've been asking for years for people to bring me a wine from different states. I've got wines from all but four states left, but the one I have from Hawaii is the Maui Blush. So that's that was really cool to note that I have that. We tried it. I remember tasting it. This is a very pleasant blush wine. 1989, Rose Ranch Cuvée is released. 92, Maui Splash, which is a pineapple passion fruit wine. 93, Yucapalaca Red is released. 94, they call Plantation Red is released, which again, we have a Plantation Red. I thought that was really unique. And then August 94, the 20th anniversary of the vineyard. Now they are 36 years old. The vineyard's about 36 years old. So just a little background for the vineyards and the ranch there and all that. The grapes that they're growing there now, and this is, Paula Hagley, the president, and it's during our conversation, she said that they're growing a Carnelian, which is a blend of a Grenache, a Cab, and a Carignan. I've never heard of it. She said it's a hybrid of those three, a UC Davis hybrid called Carnelian. And she said it makes for a really a nice, a pleasant red wine. I don't know what the blends are or anything on it. In fact, let me check here. I might be able to tell you exactly if it does list it here. Red wines. No. I was hoping. I can't pronounce it. The Yucapalaca Red is... doesn't say. Doesn't say what the blend is. Sorry. But they also grow Syrah, Chenin Blanc, Malbec, they're hoping for success with the Malbec. They're trying. The difference, I just read you the temperature fluctuations for a volcano winery. The Maui winery is a big difference, and this is what astonished me. It shouldn't, though, because they're two islands. They're separated by the waters and everything else. And, again, microclimates. And when I was talking to Paula, she mentioned how many microclimates Hawaii has. She said you can travel a mile and come across another microclimate somewhere else. I mean, they're just all over the place. There's a lot of microclimates in Hawaii. Where the winery is now, the summer highs get – probably in the low 90s, she said, not often, but, you know, upper 80s and low 90s. The winter highs get into the mid-low 80s, and the lowest temperature that they ever get there is in the 60s. Wow. That's their moderate conditions year-round. That's what they are faced with, these constant temperatures all the time. Because of this, they don't get any variation in the temperature and enough to really cause the grapes to do anything. She said that with the moderate conditions, she can have the pH right there where she wants it. The sugar is good. Everything's good, but they're losing fruit flavor. She said this year they picked at 24, 25 bricks, which was wonderful. It was a good year, and the sugar popped in high, and they're looking at having a great harvest and a great batch of wine. But they only got 4 inches of rain this year. And because they only had 4 inches of rain, it caused a stress on the grapes. The soil there is volcanic. Almost all of it is a volcanic soil. And she said there's lots of rocks and stones throughout the soil. And she's constantly battling that whenever they open up new acreage, whenever they plant new acreage. She says he's had companies come in and break up the stone and pulverize it and do different things trying to get something that's a little bit better for the grapes to grow in. She says one of the things with this volcanic soil, the grapes that are planted in the ground spread out of the roots. They don't dig deep because there's nothing for them to dig to. Grapevine roots, and I think I might have discussed this before, but a quick review. Grapevine roots will seek water. If the water table is down a little bit lower, they will work their way down and pick up the roots from there. If it's not anywhere that they can find it lower, they will spread out. And so they will form this big mat of roots right underneath the surface so they can get as much water that way as they can. The spread out works good because it's going to pick up moistures and stuff, but it also doesn't give the grape the struggling it needs to really put some effort into the fruit, into the grapes themselves. And this is what helps produce the flavors. Like Paula said, good pH, good sugar, everything else is good, but just no solid flavors. Because of that, and the high humidity, and she said it's tremendously high humidity all the time there. It's they get better reds than they do whites. The reds tend to give a much, much better harvest and much better taste. I asked her, I said, you know, how many tons an acre you get? Now, considering the fact that most wineries try to keep it right around 5 tons an acre, and if they're getting a very prolific grape, they'll cut it back so it'll only get 5 tons an acre. And some grapes will give you, you know, 3 or 4 because they don't produce that much. I asked Paula how many tons per acre, and she said, normally, she said they get around 2 tons per acre, which is really low. She said, but because of the fact that there is no variation of the season, it really makes a big difference there in the winery because the seasons don't vary enough to cause the wines to go dormant and come back. Because of the lack of real seasons, she says the winter time doesn't exist, so they start getting bud break spread out over a whole period of a couple, 3 months. It's not like, okay, this is spring, oh, here's the bud break that we're going to start getting it. What happens is it starts spreading out over such a long period of time, which causes the grapes to ripen at different times, which causes all sorts of stuff. So what they do is they look for the time when most of the buds come out for the grapes, and then they pinch everything out. So it's one of the reasons they're getting 2 tons an acre is because they don't get a consistent bud break. They look for the highest yield in the bud break and then work off of that. She said that she did try to do 2 harvests one of the grapes that they had. I can't remember which one she said it was. They tried to put in 2 harvests, and it's a lot of stress on the grape. It really just way too much, and it is stress on the grape. That's why Florida doesn't do 2 harvests. It's a tremendous amount of stress. But they went back to 1 harvest and just doing 1 a year. The wine that Maui is probably most noted for is their pineapple wine. In fact, when you look up Hawaii wine on Wikipedia, one of the things it says, or one of the lines it says, the state mainly produces fruit wines such as a pineapple sparkling wine, which is theirs, which is Maui's wine. Paula started 20 years ago at the winery here. She's been there for 20 years. She originated from Washington State, no background in wine so much. She was able to come there, and she said at the time they weren't promoting their pineapple wine a lot. They were not really saying they want to be a fruit wine. She said, but when she got there, she started to say, look, you know, why not? This, you're Hawaii, you have pineapple wine. There's no reason why we can't really promote this and do something with it. And actually they do, and they have exploded with it now because it's something that people, when you go to Hawaii, you expect the pineapple. They used to get it from a plantation. There used to be a few plantations around there, and the plantations, the big one they got it from, closed down, and it's to a co-op from have approximately 23 acres of pineapples that they grow. I am a pineapple grower myself. I have four plants on the back porch that I actually grow. And it was fun talking to her. She said, the thing is with pineapples, though, and I'm going to try this next time I get a pineapple, and I've gotten a couple. She said, if you let the pineapples stay on the vine too long, they start budding. And all the little dots, all the little things that come out the side of the pineapple, all the little bumps, every one of those will produce a little flower. And so I think I'm going to do that just to see what it looks like. I've never seen a pineapple with flowers like that. But she said that the 23 acres of pineapples that they grow themselves, then they have to squeeze their own and make the pineapples that they use in the wine, and then they proceed to ferment it and do everything just like they would grapes. They don't do anything different, just process just like they would grapes. She said it's been quite a challenge because it's like a division for pineapple growing and everything now. Plus, you know, working all the stuff back into the ground and all the leftover stuff and everything that they have from the pineapple. She said it's been quite an education, but it seems to be working well, and they're getting enough pineapples that they need to make their pineapple wine, which is a big seller for them there. It's one of the things that they actually market more than anything else. I asked her how busy they were, and she said that they get approximately 500 visitors a day.
Wow.
Coming to the wine. I know. Wow. That's what I said. A day? She said, weekends are busy, Steve, but we average about 500 a day. She said, it's a constant flow of people. And she said, we get to make everything. She said, it's a constant flow of people. I asked her about the state helping and the feds and all that stuff. I mean, I've always asked the different wineries we've talked to in different states. And she said that the three wineries, they don't really worry too much about it. They don't, it doesn't bother them. They do their tax, they get their money in from them, and it's sort of an indifferent type thing. And she said that both of the wineries pretty much take the attitude, that's cool, that's great, you know, as long as they don't mess with us, then, you know, if it's not bothering us, there's no reason to call us waves and worry about it. So she said that the state doesn't do anything. She said the federal government, though, that's been a different story. Actually, the federal government, the wine division, was under a different division for many years, and just recently, within the last, and I want to say 18 to more than that, about 12, 15 years, the federal government set up the TTB, which is the part of government that actually takes care of wineries. Previously, it was mixed in with firearms and tobacco and all that other good stuff and everything else. The TTB does it, but it was the TTB is more of a separate organization than all that other. She said previously they would get a lot of visitors from the federal government because it was Hawaii, and Hawaii was the great place for them to have their annual meetings. She said so she would see a lot of the federal people come in and tell her how to work through stuff, how to take care of stuff, what to do, and all that stuff. And she says she learned a lot just from the people coming over there and taking care of that stuff. So she said now, not so much. She said, you know, economy, one reason, and not seeing as many of the government people as they used to. As far as shipping goes, again, every state has their rules and regulations and all that. They can ship to other states that have reciprocal. In 2001, the government at the time in Kitano, I believe it's pronounced Kitano, opened the wine industry to more of the domestic with the United States. That he put in there was a reciprocal trade agreement with the other states. That way it enabled Hawaii to purchase wine directly from wineries in those states and in exchange for those states allowing Hawaii wineries to sell to those states, which the reciprocal, without having to go through a wholesaler or the typical three-tier distribution system. Paula said that as long as you, she said, they have contacted all these different states, and she's getting licensed to ship to a lot of the states. She checks it and finds out what states are the ones that that they do most of their business with, and they contact them and start finding out if it is worth their time to fill out the paperwork, pay the money, and get a license for that state. They have let's see. I can let you know here what I think. They have, Alaska, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Nevada, Ohio, Oregon, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, and Wyoming they're shipping to right now. She said that part of the thing that dictates if they're going to ship to a state is if there is enough business out in that state, the warrant getting the paperwork and paying the license fees, or if the license fee is low enough that it's, even if they don't have a whole lot of business, if the license fee is low enough, then it will benefit them to go ahead and pay the fees and get it on there. She says, for example, Tennessee. She said they don't get a whole lot of visitors to the winery from Tennessee. The Tennessee license costs $1,000 a year. So it doesn't benefit them to get the license to ship to Tennessee because they, over the period of a year, would not make their $1,000 back. So this is why they pick and choose what states they can stick to and which ones can receive and all that. And on their way to the regulations and how it's charged and the tax that you have to pay. And it's just, you know, the whole thing is ridiculous. But that's what happens, you know. So I asked her about if they have all three licenses, distributor, shipping, all that, and she said they do. If you are a manufacturer of local wines in Hawaii, you can have a tasting room and sell your wine out of that. So basically it's a double license. It's a retail manufacturer license. Excuse me. They had their they had their distributor's license, but she said it got to the point where it was just too much of a hassle to spend time on distribution when they can just turn it over to a distributor and let them take care of it. So that's what they've done. They have a raspberry wine, and I wanted to cover this too. They have a raspberry wine, although it's not from Maui. It is about 85% of it comes from out of state there, because they don't grow raspberries there. But the TTB says that they cannot name the wine a Maui wine, because Maui is the name of a county. And according to the laws, you can't name a wine after a county. So because it's not from there, they have to start coming up with a different name for these things. And that's why the original name, the Tadeshi Vineyard, might start popping up on some of their labeling because of that. So this is, again, government. And whenever I start talking to any of these wineries, regardless of who they are, people always have issue with the government and the suits setting up there, not really being out there and understanding what's going on. Paula was really, really quite interesting. She'd been there for a long time. She didn't have any background in wine. She went there and she approached it, and she enjoyed her job. You could tell by the way she was really having a good time. We had a great talk. It was really funny because a lot of the stuff she was saying actually applies to Florida, the humidity, different things that we face here is the same that she faces there. It's a great winery. It's really a lot of neat stuff there, and they can ship to a lot of states. Let me give you the name, address, phone number, and website for this winery, and then I want to cover something else real quick before we go to close here. The winery is located on Maui. It's on the second biggest island. It is the address is Tedeschi, that's Tedeschi, Tedeschi Vineyards, and the address is HC1. That's Hawaiian Main Route 1, Box 953, Kula, Kula, Hawaii, 96790. The number, toll-free, 877-878-6058. And email is info@mauiwine.com, M-A-U-I, mauiwine.com. And their website, www.mauiwine.com, a great place. Again, if you live in Florida, you can order some pineapple wine from them, their signature wine, and drop them a line, tell them you heard about them. They'll be happy to know. And Paula, if you did get a chance to listen, thank you very much for the information. And they're 6 hours behind us there in Hawaii. They don't go on daylight saving time in Hawaii, so they're 6 hours behind us, so it's almost 8 here, so it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon there right now. So that was very, very interesting, very fun, neat little wineries in Hawaii there. Cool. Thank you. Thank you, Busby. They're getting a little over-drinking there. I do want to quickly talk about something else here. I have mentioned this before. It is time to bring it up again. This is HR 5034. This is the new regulations that can really to put legislation concerning state-based alcohol regulations and all that stuff. We have battled this before. They're playing with it again. Again, and this is not going to just affect wine, and obviously you're wine people because you're listening, but this will affect all alcohol, beer, wine, spirits, everything. This is ridiculous, editorialized or whatever. Let me read you a couple of things here. This is says, during a three-hour hearing last month, members of the House Judiciary Committee heard from the colleagues and alcohol industry representatives as they voiced concern, both opposition and support, to the Comprehensive Alcohol Regulatory Effectiveness Act, or the H.R. 5034. This is the first step in getting it out of committee onto the floor of Congress for a vote. This legislation, and this was originally introduced by Representative William Delahunt, a Democrat out of Massachusetts, back in April, addressed state-based alcohol regulations. The supporters say the law is necessary to prevent frivolous lawsuits and protect the three-tier system. However, the beverage suppliers, wineries, brewers, and distillers and trade organizations that oppose the bill referred to it as Wholesalers Monopoly Protection Bill. It is something that is going to change the way that we can ship. It's going to change it. The Supreme Court threw these legislations back to the states about 6 years, 7 years ago. Now, this bill will completely negate all that and start putting it back against the states. We need to stop this. So contact your congressman, contact your representative, H.R. 5034. So,
okay.
Off my soapbox.
Yeah.
That's why. I guess we're going to be missing next week because other plans are scheduled for us, but 2 weeks we will be back with Idaho. Idaho? I believe Idaho.
Yeah, in case they missed it, we will not be here next week, Thursday, but catch us on the following week for Idaho. And you still there?
I'm here, breaking up a lot. Yeah, I don't have to.
Okay, scary.
So, thank you, everyone, if you're still hearing. 2 weeks, Idaho.
Yes, Idaho. Can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay, yeah. For some reason, it's been cutting out. Since we're not going to be here next week, November 6th, that's a wine festival, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. Definitely want to check that out. November 6th, Saturday, wine festival at Florida Estates Winery, State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And want to thank everybody for listening and for joining us here on the show on Blog Talk Radio. It is also available on iTunes and 1,000 mics in the archives. Definitely check it out. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot, Ron. I don't know if you can hear me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. We'll see you. And thanks a lot. And had a very interesting show there. And we'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. And